Red Monk Radio, Episode 27.
Hi, this is Kote. If you'd like to send a comment on this podcast, please send it to podcast@redmonk.com. And if you'd like to subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or some other podcatcher, go to peopleoverprocess.com and look in the sidebar under the heading podcast, and you can find the feed for this podcast, which you can add to iTunes or any other podcatcher. So with that, enjoy the episode.
Basically, in our latest exciting episode of Red Monk Radio, we're looking at something that I think a lot of people would consider would be pretty unusual. Oh, and by the way, this is James Governor here, of course. What we're looking at is running a large-scale multiplayer online game on a Z-Series mainframe. And as I say, I think that's something that might surprise some people, but the guy in charge of the project is here to tell us a little bit about that. So why don't I hand straight over to Tarquinio and ask you to introduce yourself, say a little bit about your role, position, and hop on with the game, and how you came to the mainframe.
Well, Hoplon is, we are a small company specializing on developing online games. We're doing some infrastructure work to run our game currently in development that's called Tycodom. It will be first available in Portuguese for Brazil and Portugal, but look for an English version and even a Spanish version later on. We are actually on development right now, and Tycodom is a sci-fi game that takes place in this first version in space. So you get to fly a spaceship. If you have a joystick, you can just plug it in the computer, and you get full control of your spaceship. And so we have very realistic physics with collisions, damage, explosions, shots being fired. But also you have all the economical side, because you have a large community, as it is a massive multiplayer online game. You can have thousands of simultaneous users, and we are trying to develop this infrastructure that will allow us to have tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands, that's hope, of simultaneous users, and they'll be able to do mining operations alone or together. They will be able to do trade and buy and sell and move things from one space station to another, or become pirates and prey on the traders and the miners. They can become patrolmen and defend all the space lanes. It will be a huge universe of and very free to play, because our strategy is not to have levels or skills or things like that. That's usually in massive multiplayer games, you have to kill a monster to gain experience to become of a higher level, where you can kill even tougher monster to get more experience to get up to a higher level. Right. And we don't want to do that. We want you to have a universe of freedom where you do only what you like. Okay.
We're all about that. We certainly like yes. universes of freedom where people only have to do what they like. That sounds like
because to give all this freedom, you have to offer excellent physics and economics and things like that, because all the background has to be very flexible and very supportive and very it has to be able to emerge all these properties of how these behaviors for the universe, they have to show up from your actions. And that's something that's is being very challenging to do. But that's fantastic anyway. We are hoping that Tycodom will be a huge success. And I'm glad to hear that we can count on some interest from the UK as well. Yeah, well, actually, James, I quite concur with you. It's a bit surprising. It was actually very surprising for our programmers here at Hoplon. When I came back with the news that IBM would be letting us use a mainframe to host to host tests for the Tycodom game, it was quite a scene. They looked at me like I had I don't know, came back from the Stone Age or something. But I told them that the IBMers I had talked to in São Paulo were quite confident that the mainframe was able to handle not only the I/O problem, that's very easy for the mainframe, but the CPU usage, the computer power that we need to run a game that's an action game with collisions and physical simulation, things like that. But I told them, well, they're very confident, let's give a try. They said if that doesn't work, they will give us another system, but they are confident that it will work. So we tried. It was very easy to try. Using Linux on the mainframe is no different than using Linux anywhere else. You have a lot of different servers, only they are virtual, but you never know that when you are logging in through a console. And they are networked. The network runs on memory, but it behaves just like any other network on TCP/IP, only they are faster and more reliable. And, well, you asked for my position. I'm actually CEO of Hoplon Infotainment. We are a small company, about 50 person in Brazil, in the south of Brazil. We are actually in a lush temperate island on the coast of Santa Catarina State, about 1,000 kilometers south of São Paulo. And since we're upside down, the weather here is usually milder than in São Paulo and in the north of the Brazil. So it's almost European.
Okay. That sounds very nice.
It does sound nice. Hey, Cote, you think about maybe we're living in the wrong place.
Yeah, either that or I need to start living my life upside down, it sounds like. I'll start walking on my hands more often.
I could do with that. Some living upside down would be great.
Well, the thing that's interested me about a lot of the mainframe discussion that I've been in recently is like you were saying, it seems like if you have Linux on the mainframe, it's virtually the same as using Linux on a distributed machine or something along those lines, right? But in deciding to use a mainframe, it seems like, as was emphasized on a call that we just had, that you have to do a TCO study to realize that the upfront money payout is going to be larger than if you had a distributed setup, perhaps. But then in the long run, or even medium run, it's going to pay off well. And so was that your finding, and how did you go about doing the sort of upfront rationalization of spending a larger amount of money than if you might have had a distributed system instead?
Yeah, very good, mate.
Well, actually, we ran a few tests last year to test market the concept for the game and also the reliability and the capacity of the mainframe.
Right.
The mainframe went great, but the market told us that our game wasn't ready for the market yet, so we went back to the drawing board. We are still developing. So the game is not released yet.
Sure.
Next month, we should be going back to a technical alpha, and then by late this year, early next year, we should be going back to the beta testing, where everyone will be welcome once again. But for us, anyway, the total cost of ownership is critical. Because we are running on demand, that helps things a lot, but we have to live on a monthly fee that the player pays. So
right.
We don't have any way of increasing our revenue stream other than increasing the revenue, the monthly fee, and that's very unwelcome with the players.
So yes.
For us, the cost of this hosting and of the bandwidth we have is crucial. And from every indication we had till now, we have a very, very competitive cost. Once, of course, we know the statistics for our game, the rate, the usage behaviors, and the computing, the power profiling, the consumption profile of computer power we are going to have for Tycodom, we'll be very close to having a fixed per player per month cost, and that's very unusual for the game industry, because we only can do that because of flexibility that on-demand on the Z-Series allows us, because the cost usually would vary with the rate of occupation of our systems, And whenever we extended it, the cost would skyrocket. But not for us. We should have a very, very well-behaved cost per play per month using this on-demand solution.
Right. No, that's interesting because it sounds like sort of the money concerns that you had is you have to worry about the money right up front, so to speak, the spin that you have. And so that gives you a strong motivation to figure out if the infrastructure you're going to buy is going to work on that month-to-month level. Instead of, for example, you know, we're going to develop a service and then kind of worry about recouping the cost for it later on down the line. So we don't have to necessarily get everything right out of the gate.
And what specifically was the initial outlay? Just to get started with this, I mean, I'm assuming that IBM kind of helped you, but what was your initial outlay?
My initial outlay? Sorry, I didn't get that.
Just basically, which box did you buy? How much did you pay initially to get started? It's one thing to say I can scale and scale, but I think a lot of people worry about the sticker shock. Mm. To be honest, I had to drop off, and you may have just said that, and I missed it, but that was one of the things I was particularly interested in. I mean, what would be the minimum point of entry?
Oh, okay. The minimum point of entry we'll have will be what IBM calls a base system. We are customers already, but we are doing a testing phase to optimize the software, and we'll have a second round of measurements to perfectly configure our needs inside the mainframe. This is how it works. Let's say we have a minimum of 6 or 10 virtual servers inside the mainframe, and we set up a base consumption for them. As people log in and we need more computer power, we might go over this base computing power we have bought at discount prices, and then it becomes flexible because it measures how much power we are using over that limit and for how much time. And we'll be billed a month afterwards on the total of this usage per hour that exceeded our base. And if that becomes very often used, we'll be heightening the base level of consumption we have, so the whole solution becomes less expensive. And on the other hand, if we begin to have too many extra players, that's very good actually, because we are having a huge success, let's say, we can ask IBM for new servers. And this way we'll have a larger base that we'll have to pay for, but then we are able to get many more simultaneous players inside our system. And that will happen if we need a new virtual server in about 3 minutes. That's the time they need to start up a new server.
Okay, there's something here that I'm not even sure I'd realize at this point. In other words, you didn't need any outlay. It's all pay-per-use. You only pay IBM if you use the capacity?
Yes, that's exactly that, and I only pay a month after using it. That's pretty much exactly, James, like your electric bill, like they say. You ask to be connected to the network, and then you have this whole month or 3 months, depending on your country, where you use all your electric systems, and you turn on the lights, and you can have air conditioning, TV, home appliances, etc. And then the power company comes, measures your power consumption, and bills you on the power consumption that you had. So you have you don't have to pay anything up front, and that's exactly the same with the on-demand from IBM.
And so is IBM actually hosting the servers for you? Do you physically have the mainframes?
No, the mainframe belongs to them. We share the mainframe with other applications. One of them is IBM Foundation Financial Services. So we're pretty much sharing the same space with their retirement funds. So they wouldn't want to risk that, okay? So it's very, very
of
safe.
Course. So where are the physical mainframes actually housed?
It's in Hortolândia. That's a city just outside of São Paulo here in Brazil.
Okay.
But here is something that's amazing as well. Let's say Taikodome doesn't go very well in Brazil. Well, strike wood three times. Let's hope that's not the case. But just to
certainly,
just as an example.
Uh-huh.
And we are a huge success in the United Kingdom.
Right.
So hosting in Hortolândia doesn't make sense anymore. What do? We back everything up. We ask for a similar mainframe located in the UK, and we set everything back there again. Takes, I don't know, 2 days, something.
Right.
And we begin catering to these people in the UK. So we can move pretty much anywhere in the world where Taikodome is a success.
And then just to clarify, IBM takes care of the physical management of the mainframes for you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well,
they will make sure that our system is up. So all we have to do is customer care. We don't have to deal with day-to-day operations. We don't have to have a 24-hour team working here at Florianopolis to make sure the server is up.
Right.
They will be doing that for us.
I think in terms that our more distributed minor listeners might understand, essentially, IBM's kind of providing you a mainframe grid, as it were, where the sort of physical location of things and the ability to scale up isn't really something you have to concern yourselves with. You can just get access to their mainframes and start using them and scale them up as needed and physically move them around, like you were saying, to the UK if that's faster for network access. And they're managing the physical management of everything for you, which is
interesting.
And they have effectively removed the barrier to entry to the platform.
Right.
Yeah, they have. Because, you see, there was this amount of capital that we have set aside for servers. And we were actually able to get this amount of money and instead invested in programmers to make the game better.
And the sort of interface to it sounds similar to the interface that you have with IBM, where Amazon is just hosting a bunch of servers in the sky that can scale up or scale down as needed. And so it's interesting to hear that the same sort of thing sounds like it's interesting in mainframe land. But to restate what you were saying earlier, since you're running Linux on the mainframe, the fact that it's a mainframe isn't incredibly relevant to the day-to-day use, except for the benefits that it might provide, right? I mean, you don't have to... I presume you don't have to sort of change the programming style or the way that you write the code that you would if you were on a non-mainframe machine.
Almost nothing. As I said, we run the game... Taikodome, and the infrastructure we are building to run it on is built on Java and C++ code using actually GCC compiler, and it's very much based on open standards. So when we moved it to the mainframe, what did we find? We found out that Java tapped on the code, and we have maintained that standard of programming right now, so we don't have any problem anymore. We just have to get all the code, upload it to the mainframe, compile it there, and we have C code that runs very fast on the mainframe.
Right.
And it's very easy to maintain.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. It's nice to talk to you about it because it's a slightly different understanding of the setup that I had previously, and it sounds like James was saying, it's extremely low barriers to entry, right? You can just start operating on the platform, and as your use of it rises or falls, you pay accordingly, instead of having to pay a large upfront fee for it.
Yes, that's... I usually say that to explain that... the online game industry is not that well known yet, but the problem is very similar with the movies industry. Or, as you say, cinema in the UK.
Right.
When you when you release a new blockbuster, you have to take a few theaters that will be showing the movie, the film on the first weekend, and you book them up. So because you're expecting a level of success for the film you're releasing. Let's say the movie, the film doesn't do that well, and then you have empty theaters, and the owners won't be that happy with you. But on the other hand, let's say the film is a huge success, and by being a huge success, you get huge queues of people waiting to go to and seeing the film, and many times they won't be able to get in, they won't be able to see the film on the first weekend, and they are hearing the film is very good, and right. They are losing it, and they'll be mad at you. So either way, you get people mad at you. And when you release an online game, that's pretty much the same, except you buy servers, and you hope they don't go unused, but you hope they are able to cater to everyone that shows up,
right.
Because you have no control whatsoever. If you have a huge success, you can either have to turn people away or lessen the level of service.
Absolutely, it's kind of like you're
able.
You don't want to be in the position that you hope your growth is slow enough for you to keep up with servers, right? You want it to instantly be able to scale up.
I mean, this is probably the best references that IBM has, and interestingly enough, they didn't call out these angles. I mean, they talk about on-demand. What you've just described is very much an on-demand strategy. As I say, it's extremely interesting. Well, it sounds like a game, you know, that I used to play on a BBC Micro back in the 80s called Eclipse.
Don't tell me you're an Elite fan as well.
Sorry, I meant Elite. God, it's so long ago I forgot. Yeah, Elite, not Eclipse. Elite. That's exactly what it sounds like. And, that was, I spent far too many hours playing that game. I've obviously become a little bit more corporate-y.
Me too, I love it.
Okay, good. If you give me Elite with thousands of other people, I will definitely play that game.
Yeah, I know people always like Star Control or StarCraft or whatever.
Because I'll tell you one thing, it's obviously been too long, and I've got way too enterprise-y. If when I think of E, I'm thinking Eclipse. I'm thinking about IDEs instead of instead of massively scalable games, and I think I should probably reboot myself. And when you get that English version, I'll definitely be flying around.
One more fun
game.
Fact for you.
Oh yeah, please. Mm-hmm. We love fun
Is
facts.
I'm glad you mentioned Eclipse because we actually developed the game on Eclipse, and it's a very good platform to develop on.
Okay.